Well, we're coming to the Word of God, and we've been looking at the book of Joshua. And today we begin with Joshua chapter 2. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Shittim to spy secretly, saying, "Go and view the land, especially Jericho." So they went, and they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and they lodged there. And our subject today is Rahab's faith, which obtains salvation. So Joshua, son of Nun, he had sent out two spies, and he said to them, go secretly to the land of Jericho. But their mission wasn't very secret, because it was found out almost immediately. We read the details in verse 2. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Two spies have come from Israel tonight to spy out the country." So somehow there was very rigorous surveillance in place. And the king of Jericho heard spies had crossed over. He knew how many they were. He knew what time they had come. And he even knew to where they had gone. Because he says in verse 3, messengers come to Rahab's house, and they say to Rahab, "Bring out the men that are hiding here. Bring out the men that you have concealed. They have come to spy the land. And we know, Rahab, they have entered your house." The one question that we must ask before we move on is, why did Joshua send out the spies? Why did the Lord send out the spies? Isn't it the Lord who knows everything? Surely he wouldn't have needed to send out spies, who knows the end from the beginning. And of course, the immediate thought is, well, he was training Joshua, he was teaching Joshua. Joshua needed to learn to trust the Lord. But I think there was a greater reason. I think there was a higher reason. It wasn't really a military reason or a military exercise. There was one of God's lost sheep in Jericho that needed to be rescued. There was one of the elect that needed saving. The reason he sent the spies, I believe, is to rescue this lost woman. God knew that if the spies went there, their visit would result in the salvation and the saving of the life of Rahab. And not only Rahab, but her father and her mother and her kin. So I was thinking about this, and it's one of those cases where the Lord once said, "I have need that it is needful that I go through Samaria." Well, why did the Lord need to go through Samaria? There was a shorter way. He needed to go through Samaria because there was a woman who would be at the well. A sinful woman who had had five husbands, yet there was a lost sheep at the well that needed to be rescued, that needed to hear the words of life. And that's exactly the same reason why I believe the spies went to Jericho. It's a very practical reason. His love and concern for the lost. He came to seek and save that which is lost. You see, many people say, well, why would he go for such a terrible woman who was a harlot and who was a prostitute? We need to understand, where sin abounds much, grace abounds much more. Our Lord is a God of grace. He demonstrates his saving grace. He demonstrates that in his covenant, he's willing to save the most undeserving of all people. He's willing to save the most unlikely, the worst sinner, and he's willing to wash them whiter than the snow in his precious blood. the Lord knew that if he would could order these the steps of these spies to this woman's house. And I read this, that the spies had been given a commission to go and spy the land, especially Jericho. They were given no mandate to go to look for Rahab's house. But what happened was, I believe, the steps of a good man, of good men, were ordered by the Lord. And he delights in their way. And he sent them to this woman. We must consider this. Look at the great length the Lord goes to. Look at the way which he arranged circumstances that grace and salvation would come to Rahab. And maybe there's someone among us. They say, well, I've just come to church today, but it is the grace of God that he has arranged and he has ordered that you come today. Why has he ordered that you come today? That you may hear the gospel, and maybe hearing the gospel, it will soften your heart, and maybe you will get a desire, I want to be cleansed, and maybe you will get a desire, I want to know this living God, like Rahab wanted to know the truth. And nothing is really by accident. It wasn't by accident that the spies went to Rahab. And it is not by accident that you and I have come into this place today to hear the gospel. The Lord has something which will encourage all of our hearts. We wonder, perhaps there's somebody that says to themselves, well, I already desire salvation. I already want to serve the Lord. Grace has already melted my heart. But what still remains? Well, we will see in a few moments that all that remains is for you to call upon his name and be saved. And my advice and the scripture's advice is, do not delay to call on his name, especially when he's so near, especially when you feel the strings of your heart being pulled and tugged. Great grace that was shown to Rahab. So vast, so deep, it's like a sea without a shore. And this woman, they were there to help her, but also she helped them. She helped them because without this woman's help, they would have definitely been found out. The king's messengers would have discovered them unless she befriended them, and their mission would have failed even before it even started. This woman, she speaks to the king's messengers who ordered her. They didn't ask her nicely. They ordered her, bring out the men that you are hiding, or the men that have entered your house. Well, surely she should have been afraid. Surely she should have thought to herself, well, how does the king know that these men are here? Somebody must have told him, I'll get blamed. I'll get accused. I can be executed for this. This is a serious case. But something remarkable happens. She doesn't give the men up. This sinful woman decides to help them. She decides to take them and hide them, and then very coolly and calmly she lied. She said, yes, men did come here. They did come just before the gates were closed. And I don't know where they have gone, but they left. Why don't you pursue them? Chase them as quick as you can. Surely you will overtake them. And in verse 6 and 7, she hid them on the roof under the stalks of flax. The messengers rushed out the gates, which, by the way, were shut after they left. And that must have been some kind of peace for her. The messengers have gone. At least they can't come back. And the messengers gave chase all the way to the Jordan, but they did not find them. But now this brings I want to just bring out a pastoral lesson before we move on. This brings a problem, because Rahab is so often criticized for lying. They said, well, how can she lie? I think there are two answers. And the first answer is very easy. If you suppose that Rahab was not born again, she was still a harlot when the spies arrived. She was not yet, she had not yet embraced the God of Israel. She was still lost. So, in other words, she was no angel. She was a sinful woman who was seeking after salvation. So, if you look at it like that, it was very common in those days for the heathen to lie. It wasn't uncommon. The heathen lied. And even today, the heathens still lie. The writer of Hebrews doesn't condone Rahab's old life. He doesn't condone her practice of lying, but he speaks of a small spark of faith smoldering deep down in Rahab's heart that would soon begin to burn brightly and consume all her old ways. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. Now, the other view is that Rahab was an innkeeper. She had long left her lifestyle of being a harlot. They say, well, you see, she had stalks of flax on the roof, and she was laying them in order on the roof. So that was her business. She was no longer involved in the business of being a prostitute. And she was saved at the time that the spies arrived. And that's difficult to answer. Well, she's saved. How can she lie? When I say saved, I mean the God of Israel is hers. She believes in the God of Israel. Her faith is in the God of Israel. Now, if that is the case, and she was the Lord's, was it right for her to lie? And was it right for her? She knew the commandment that said, you shall not bear false witness. But she also knew the commandment which said, you shall not murder. So now she knew, if she doesn't say anything, these men will surely be put to death. If she says nothing, they will surely be put to death. So she says, well, I'll tell this, that they're not here. And we can look down on that woman for that. We can say that was wrong. But I heard the one preacher say, well, if burglars came into your house and they were very violent and they said, where are your children? There's no way that you would tell the burglars where your children are. You would lie to protect life. And he says, the ordinary, the right thing to do is not lie. But there is one circumstance, and that is when life is involved. Was it right for the many Christians that hid the Jews in the Second World War from the Nazis? Was it right for the Christians to lie and say there are no Jews here? You see, it's not an easy question to answer. But what we need to answer is this, is that it's not right to lie. And that you and I are called to follow our Lord, who in him is truth and no lie at all. And we desire to walk in truth. We desire to speak the truth to one another. We don't use this verse as an excuse to lie. We don't use this verse as an excuse, oh well, it's all right to lie under certain circumstances. It's very complex. yes, maybe you would need to lie if it was going to result in somebody's death. But generally, 99.999%, we lie not. We know that our God is a God of truth, and in Him is no lie at all. I desire to follow Him. But let's move on. What made this woman help these two men? Why did she risk her life? What if the messengers were able to come back and they demanded that the city gates be opened, and they came in and they said, we have heard that these men are present here, and they did a more thorough search? She'd be found out. She'd even be put to death. So what made her help them? And we see this in Joshua 2 verse 9. And she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. How did she know? Well, she had heard. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. And we've heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, and you utterly destroyed them. She had heard. And the two spies, they gleaned something absolutely amazing from this. They realized that Israel's testimony had greatly affected the people of Jericho. The Canaanites knew how God had been with Israel. The Canaanites knew how God had delivered them. These Canaanites had many gods. They had many idols in their houses. But their many idols and their many gods had not helped them even once. But the God of Israel had dried the Red Sea for them. And deep down in their hearts, they knew that this God was the true God. And they heard that this God helped His people, and He did mighty works for them. We can get an application from this when we witness to our loved ones, to our family, and we speak the words of life to them. And we must never lose hope that we affect the people that we speak to more deeply than we realize. Our words will impact them much more than we can imagine. The lost sinners, they observe our behavior. They're constantly watching us, and perhaps they're even seeking to discredit us. But there's one thing they recognize: that the hand of God is upon us, that the Lord is with us, that our lives are upheld by God. Our lives that are lived well in front of them speak volumes. Remember now, Rahab spoke of how God dried up the sea. She had heard that 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Well, you don't need to get discouraged, because maybe you preached to a loved one 40 years ago, but that word is still with them. They are still thinking of it. It is still alive. It is still speaking. Of course, we think of the Sunday schools. I think I've told the story before, but I want to tell it again. In a Sunday school, a young man went through the Sunday school. He was faithful. But as he grew up, he left the church, and he departed from the church, and he became an extremely successful businessman. This happened in London. He got involved in a deal which was billions, not millions, billions. And he was sore tempted to step into this deal. But all he could hear in his mind was the voice of his Sunday school teacher from 30 years ago. Live righteously. Do what is right in the eyes of God. And he couldn't sign the deal. He had no peace. And 40 years later, that truth was still speaking to him. Oh, never underestimate the power of your witness. Never underestimate. Oh, I'm so discouraged. I spoke to my mom and dad about the Lord and they haven't responded. Don't worry. The word never returns void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent. These Israelites, these two spies, they learned that 40 years ago, when God brought Israel across the Red Sea, that they were still talking of it 40 years later, that their testimony had deeply impacted them, and our testimony will deeply impact the people that we speak to. So why did she risk helping them? Why did Rahab risk helping them? She believed that the Lord was Lord and he was going to give them Jericho. And she knew that Jericho would fall. She knew that the God of Israel was more powerful than their many gods. And she wasn't just looking at the immediate, at the here and now. She was looking with the eye of faith. She knew she had a good house. She said, my house is on the city wall. It's a very good house. It's in a city that's considered the safest city in the whole area. But she knew that this city was about to fall and about to be destroyed. She knew, for she had heard, and she was helpless to defend herself from what would surely come. Remember, others in Jericho had also heard, but none others had heard like she had heard. She had heard with the inner ear. She had heard with the ear of her heart, not the outer ear. And she heard and she believed. And the Lord had given her grace. Grace had opened her ear. And how different she was from those who believed not. Verse 11, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, and we had no more courage. For we know your God is God of heaven above and God of earth beneath. And she makes this honest confession. She says, we are helpless. Your God is too powerful. Your God is too big. And she acknowledges that she's without strength to change her situation. She acknowledges that her idols are powerless to help her. She acknowledges that there's one true God. And she's come to the point in her life where she can see, where she can say without a doubt that there is one God and only help available from one. She believed. She believed. And then she prayed. So she asks, she says, I want to be part of the deliverance that's coming to Israel. She asks for a place in the great deliverance that God is going to bring for his people. It was a great request from a condemned harlot to make. It was by faith that the harlot Rahab perished not. And her request was not just for herself. Her request was for her whole household, for her father, her mother, her kin. And this showed that her faith was real. You know, there's many people, they say, well, you know, I love the Lord with all my heart. Well, what's the proof that you love him? Are you concerned for others to be saved? Are you concerned for your family members to be saved? Or are you just only worried about yourself? No, when you are truly have real faith, you will be concerned for those that do not know the Lord. So this lady, Rahab, the prostitute, she received the promise by faith. And the men answered her, and they said to her, "Our life for yours. Our life for yours. We will deal kindly with you. We will show you favor." And she believed the promise of the two spies. She believed these two spies. Now, I want to make a point here. They were Israelites, and she was a Canaanite. Normally, the two didn't trust each other at all. How could she possibly trust an Israelite? And I think it was something like this. She knew the God of Israel was a righteous God, a truthful God, and therefore these men could be trusted. They would also be truthful. And how sad it is when people look at us and they say, "Oh, you are from such and such a tribe. You are from such and such an ethnic group. Normally, you can't be trusted." Oh no, I don't want to be recognized for what ethnic group I'm from. I want to be recognized that I am the one who belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that I'm truthful and can be trusted. That's the testimony that we should have. That's what we should have. So this sinful woman, she could trust the spies. And besides, how much more in our context, if she could trust the spies, how much more can we trust the living God when he promises us something? If she could trust what the spies promised, we can trust what God promised. God who cannot lie. Oh, what a wonderful thing, knowing that God's promise is guaranteed by an oath. He will never break his promise. He will never deceive us. When he says he will save us, he will save us. May it be said of each one of us today that we believed the promise and it was credited to us as righteousness. We believe in Jesus Christ. So this sinful woman, such a sinful woman, such a lost woman, her life is totally turned around. She's becomes a follower of the God of Israel. But even more than that, she intermarries into the tribe of Israel. And she goes on to marry, in Matthew chapter 1, a man by the name of Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. So Boaz was born by Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, the one through whom the Messiah came, the one through whom Jesus Christ was born. Isn't it amazing that God would save Rahab and through her lineage would come the Messiah? Oh, what grace. She believed. And to verse 17, the men answered her and they said, "This oath is binding upon one condition." So they had made a promise to her that they would show kindness to her when the city was overthrown. But they said that this promise that we've made to you is binding on only one condition, that you tie a scarlet rope in your window and you bring all your family into the house. And if they go out of the door, we're not going to be responsible for their death. But if you keep them in the house, they will be safe. And if you also keep our secret and breathe not a word about this mission, we will show kindness to you. We will do it when we take the city. In verse 21, she says, "Let it be as you say." And she sent the spies away to hide in the mountain. And immediately Immediately the spies are gone, she ties the scarlet rope in the window. She doesn't delay. She doesn't wait. She could have thought, oh, well, they won't return for a long time. I've got plenty of time. I don't need to tie the scarlet rope in the window today. I'll do it tomorrow. And how many of us have been preaching the gospel, witnessing, sharing our faith, and the people say, oh, I don't need to respond today. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm not ready today. Another day, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. But this woman, she showed us a pattern. Immediately, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. And we also must learn from King of Jericho. Remember in the first verses when they came over and they were discovered and it was message was brought to the king of Jericho and said, there are spies in the land. They've gone to Rahab's house. What did the king of Jericho do? Immediately he sent messengers to the house. Supposing the king said, oh, well, we'll send messengers tomorrow. There's no rush. We must learn, when we hear the message of the gospel, immediately we respond. Immediately we act upon it. We don't put it off for another day. You know, some people say, well, I can understand that you say that Rahab needed to be saved. I mean, Rahab was a harlot, but actually, I'm not so bad as Rahab. I'm not a harlot. I'm liked by all my friends. I'm not known as a bad person. But Rahab's name, do you want to know what her name means? Her name means broad way or broad place. And her name literally means proud. You see, we may not be or have done what Rahab has done, but we are all on the broad road to destruction, proud as can be. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. And we say, I'm going a good way. I don't need to turn. My way is fine. But we are proud. We must hear the message of the gospel, and we must turn. This broad way that leads to destruction, I used to say this so often in the open-air meetings. I used to blindfold myself, and I would walk to the edge of the stage, quoting the scripture, there is a way which seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. And I would continue walking towards the end of the stage, peeping under the blindfold so I could see where the stage was. But the people didn't know that I could see. And they would shout, turn, turn, don't go that way. You're going to fall down. And I would just pretend that I couldn't hear them and carry on walking. And sometimes people would shout really loudly, turn. And really, that's the picture of the one that is on the broad road to destruction, blinded by pride. Turn. Turn. It is a way which will lead to misery. It is a way which will lead to death. But if you turn and go the other way, you will be on the narrow road to heaven, fellowship, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, don't continue on that broad road so proudly. Don't continue. Turn. Hear the message. Tie the scarlet cord in the window immediately. Act upon the message immediately. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, I need grace. I'm so tired of carrying around this heavy burden of sin. I'm so tired of being weighed down by guilt. Oh, I want to be washed clean. I want to be made whole. I want to be forgiven. God's promise is for us today. God's salvation is for us today. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Turn to him. Turn to him. Place your faith today in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say like Rahab, I know. She was very clear. She didn't say maybe or possibly. She said, I know. If I were to ask you, are you born again? Can you say like Rahab, I know, I know? Without a doubt, God-given faith always says, I know. Can I say that I know that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for me? Can I have this confidence that Rahab had? Rahab's confidence was shown by her actions. The faith of Rahab was energetic. It was alive. It produced fruit. And it produced fruit to the glory of God. And faith is always accompanied by an obedient walk. Faith is always accompanied by actions. What did Rahab do? She hid the spies. That was what she did. That didn't earn her salvation. No, that just showed that she was the Lord's. Our good works don't earn our salvation, but they show that we are truly saved. They show that we are the Lord's. True faith always results in a radical change of direction. It involves us turning from our old way of life. Rahab the prostitute of Canaan became Rahab through whom Jesus Christ came. She was listed as one of the greats in the book of Hebrews. Oh, may we turn to the Lord. No matter how far we are, He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Oh dear Lord, if there's anyone among us who does not yet know You, who is still lost, who has not responded to Your call and turned from the old sinful life, oh Lord, I do pray and ask You that You would speak to their hearts, melt their hearts today, that they may turn to You, Lord, and know You and walk with You. Father, we ask Your blessing upon the word that has been preached. We ask You to grant it gospel success, Lord. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.